Today we're talking about some crazy stuff going on in this city, namely the issues of school safety. As many people know, in January, Mayor Bloomberg deployed 150 police officers into 12 of the city's so-called most violent schools. Students, parents, groups, and advocates all acknowledge that there are serious problems in some schools, including safety concerns. But many feel that safety is but one of the problems faced by the city's students, including serious overcrowding, a general lack of resources, and a lack of interest on the part of city bureaucrats.
One parent member of the Justice for Youth Coalition asked, quote, "What about the fact that students in poor communities are attending overcrowded schools, being bused to communities farther away from home to attend dilapidated buildings where they have no physical education classes, no art programs, no books, not enough teachers and staff due to budget cuts? Then all of a sudden money appears out of nowhere to pay for police officers in schools."
And we are joined in the studio to talk about these issues by a whole gang of people. I'm really excited that we have so many expert voices here with us today. We have Chino Hardin, Alan Holder, and Liz Clarissier of the Justice for Youth Coalition, Sharda Sekaran of the Center for Social and Economic Rights, and Mike Eskenazi of the National Center for Schools and Communities at Fordham University.
But before we go to our guests, we want to hear from the students. Last week, Dorian Chandler and I went to Adlai Stevenson High School, one of the so-called Dirty Dozen schools. The visit came a month after Mayor Bloomberg visited for an hour, leaving in his wake a new arsenal of cops.
He brought more cops into the school, and that's not doing anything. There's still violence. There's still fights. I don't know. This school is never going to change. Just brought in some cops and
make it look like he's doing something.
Yeah, exactly. He just wants publicity. That's why.
Like the mayor, it's like he's just putting icing on a really bad, nasty cake.
These security guards and police officers are not doing their job. That's the way I feel. That's why I only got up to this year in this school and I'm leaving.
Well, things are sure not getting any better, because everything still goes down the same way with them here.
So about how long have these cops been in your school?
Since my birthday, January 5th. And it's not working. It's worse. It's much worse now than before, because before it wasn't as much violence. Now that we got the cops in the school, it's much worse. It's like every day there's at least maybe 10 to 15 fights every day.
When we go through the back, it's like take off our hats, do-rags. I don't know why they made us take that off. But then we have to take off our boots. And that's just stupid. It is, because why are you going to take off your boots but still things still get in?
You know that's a waste of time. Yeah. The metal detectors around there, they're just a waste of time. Because people get into class late, there's the longest line. And midwinter, we're out there freezing, waiting to get in, to get scanned, and then we beep and there's nothing. But yet they could bring weapons through the side and through the back.
And then you have to take off your boots for no reason. You have to
and
take off
your socks get wet.
Exactly.
Your belts, your hats, your book bag, of course.
Everybody's wondering what's next, strip search?
You got to take off your belt, cell phones, change, everything. You got to take it out your pocket just to go through one place. And then if you ring more than twice, they pat you down and everything, but you still sneak into school. There's many ways to get into this school, and they don't see that.
What type of weapons are students sneaking in to Stevenson?
All kinds. Like, we had a 15-year-old kid one time brought a gun to school after this thing came into our school. We had females coming in with blades in their mouth, but they don't see that part. People sneaking through the back doors. That's where you get mainly all the weapons in through the back door. Knife, bats, everything. But they don't see that. It's very hard going into the school, because every day you have to watch out. Like, if you step on somebody's shoe, oh, it's a crime. If you say you're Puerto Rican, this is a crime. Because we have a war going on between Puerto Ricans and black versus Dominicans. That's the main war that's going on, but they don't see that. They don't. They just want to pick up on the cutters and whoever go late to class. That's the only thing they're doing, picking up those kids. They're not picking up the people who are having fights. Right about now, there was a fight yesterday near the library. They was using chairs and sticks. But they didn't suspend those kids. No. No, they didn't. They let the kids come right back into school. The only thing they did was take them to the office, write down their name, and that's it, and let them walk around. No, they don't do nothing in this school.
There was a fight, and it took them like a good hour just for the deans or security guards just to come and stop that one fight. And it was two girls fighting, and they couldn't separate them. It took an hour from one end of the hallway to another end of the hallway. No, give me a break. If you could run, you could run. It's like it's so violent. They don't even watch. They claim they watching us on the corner, but they not.
They're coming out of school, and they just sit there and have conversations. And when you interrupt them, they get mad. But you're not supposed to have that kind of conversation. You're supposed to watch what happens to your students. That's why you hired for to watch the students. Why do you think you're here? Not to sit there and have conversations and drink coffee.
I think that the people who want more security guards are the ones that get jumped every day.
Are you guys friends with any of the guards or the cops? You know, by a first name basis?
I call her my titi. Because every time when I have a problem, I go to her. That's my titi. I call her my titi. I be like, titi, I have a problem.
That's a security guard?
Yeah, that's a security guard. Out of all the security guards, that's the one that I like and I get along with. When I have a problem, I go to her. All the other security guards, I don't like them. I don't.
Are you learning anything when you go into Stevenson High School?
Yeah, I get my education because my report card is all 90s. All my classes, I just let that pass me by. I don't let that make me stop getting my education for anybody else.
This year, I'm having some really good teachers that are teaching me what I need to know.
But some teachers, they try to teach, but the kids are so wild, they just give up. I think the teachers in here are fearful for their life because these students in here are wild. The teachers are getting involved in the violence, but they are the victim of the violence, the teachers in the school. And like there was one security guard, he was a victim of a violence and he had to leave. So I think they the victim, the teachers and the good students and also the security guards, they the victims.
I don't really face fear, but I just walk and I'll just mind my business. I let them talk their mess and I just keep going.
I think they need to take out all those kids who are having fights constantly every day. The ones they quote-unquote pick up and take them to the office and write their name. They should not take them to the office. They should just take them out this school because they're messing up everybody else's education.
The criminals are letting themselves into the back. Why don't they just eliminate all of them?
Exactly. That's why they're trying to put more cops in the school.
Yeah, but then the cops aren't helping at all.
Nothing. They crappy
even
too.
Worse if they gave guns.
Yeah, it'd be worse.
If you leave it up to the cops and the mayor to decide who's a criminal, what's going to happen?
Everybody's going to end up dead for no reason.
But the cops should know the difference between the people who are the criminals and the people who aren't. You know, that's not right that they're shooting innocent people.
Do you like the mayor? Anybody? Do you love the mayor?
No!
You call him Mayor Doomberg instead of Bloomberg. I really don't think you like him that much.
No, we don't like the mayor. Yeah, I remember he came into the school where everybody was booing him. Nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him.
He really doesn't.
None of the students like him. The student body does not like him.
He didn't really say nothing. He just came in the lunchroom, looked around a little bit, and left. And he had like more bodyguards than we have here, and they was like all over him, protecting him. But that's how they supposed to do us. Why? Because you have big bucks, you get protection. But we a crappy school, we get nothing. We should get something.
First of all, we need more school books. We don't have that. Students, we need a whole lot of stuff. We need more teachers because we don't have enough of them. We need more classes because our classes are very like small. And pens, pencils, all of that. We need just need school supplies. Half of the school has like good things, and then the other half has like garbage, and that's not fair.
We need to study, and the pages that we missing out of that book. Certain books that have these pages together, or some of them will be missing pages that we need. So half of the students will get what they need, and then the other half of the class go.
They should really, you know, buy us new books. You know, fix the school up.
Sometimes they should open more bathrooms and stuff because sometimes people need to use the bathroom and all the doors are locked.
In emergency, you're supposed to hold it for like that one period that there's no using the bathroom.
They have certain periods that you can't just go to the bathroom and they can't give you a pass. Even an emergency pass they can't give you just because there's no pass period. They trying to save us from fights, but you could hurt yourself or harm yourself with health-wise because you're holding in your waist and not mess up your stomach and everything. So what's the sense?
Because I refuse to use this bathroom in the school. Because it's nasty. It's nasty. It's not even that the guys are peeking at you. It's just the way the bathroom is. It's like the tissue paper on the floor. Nasty. Female hygiene, everything is nasty.
Wait, wait. No, you said no stalls in any of the bathrooms.
Doors. And, I mean, you have a door to go in the bathroom, but when you use the bathroom, there's no privacy at all.
There's a peeky hole. There's a hole where the people sneak into and they cut class doing there. And sometimes the guys go in there, watch the females use the bathroom. The females watch the guys. It's nasty. It's nasty.
The girls' bathroom in the first floor has maggots.
And they so-called said that the exterminators came and cleaned up and they wanted to leave it clean because they the exterminators. No exterminators came in here because there's still rats and everything running around in the girls' locker room. And the bathroom door
cover. But it was a dead squirrel in our class for 3 months. And they didn't take it down from the wall.
And where do you see the rats most?
Classroom. Okay. All over the class.
You see their little khakis on the floor.
You can see that.
Yeah, and they be mixed in with the books sometimes too.
Let's back up a second. She just asked who's going to college.
I am.
Me too.
Yeah.
And me too.
I'm definitely graduating because I will not be in this school for another year more than I have to. So the 4 years is fine with me, so I just do them and I get the hell out.
I know I'm going to graduate. As long as I keep minding my business, do what I had to do. Besides the fights and everything. I'm worried about it, but what can I do? City ain't doing nothing, so whatever.
I truly ignore it. I just put everything out of my mind because I'm trying to do me because I'm trying to prove my side, my family wrong.
You know, y'all need to find out what's really going on because we need help here. And nobody's willing to actually help out. They have no funds for us or anything. And the mayor says, oh, we really help. No, he's not helping. This is crappy school. It's really crappy.
I feel that they target the city schools more than they target the upstate schools. They say that there's all the violence. They just look at the violence and they don't look at the educations that we're all having. They just stereotype us for being in the city and not in the suburbs.
Do any of you feel embarrassed going to Stevenson High School?
Yeah. I have, you know, like, when you get perfect attendance, you get a bag, like, yeah, perfect attendance, Stevenson. I need to put the book bag backwards just to go to the store because people just tease me for it. Like, oh, you go to Stevenson, that's a really bad school. And I'm not really proud of going to Stevenson. I chose this school. I wanted to go to some other schools that are good. But no, I try to apply to this private school. Like, I'm sorry, we can't choose you because there's too many people in this school now.
Spencer School shuts us off because we, like, so-called poor people, and we, like, lower class, so we just can't afford them. So they'll send us nice letters talking about why they can't afford to go to their school. And the only reason why they shove us off is because we don't have money, like, the big people, like the president and money like that. So you should give us some kids that's in the projects, in the ghetto, a chance to go to your schools. And they shove us off because they might think we're going to have a fight in their school and start their school off bad. No, not all kids that's from the ghetto are bad. Just because we have dark skin, oh, they no good. They up to no good.
Why?
That was The Voices of Students from Adlai Stevenson High School in the South Bronx. Ronell, Sandra, Denise, Onetta, William, Carmen, and Gilbert. Special thanks to co-producer Dorian Chandler and Dan DeVivo for the musical inspiration. Some of the music was by Zamani from the Rise Up Radio crew and Ani DeFranco.
We have a whole bunch of people. There were a lot of issues that were raised by that piece, and we have a lot of people here who can talk about some of those. That piece started out by talking about the police in the schools. And, Chino, if we could start with you. Justice for Youth has been really vocal in its opposition to the placement mm-hmm. of these officers in the schools. And as we heard in that piece, students are really concerned about safety in their schools. So if the police aren't the answer, what is the answer?
I think one or two of the sisters from Stevenson said it. You know, we need more books. You know, we need smaller class sizes. We need more intervention. We need to be proactive on a day-to-day basis and not just reactionary of sending 150 officers into the schools. I mean, you know, everything from peer-to-peer education to violence intervention and, you know, just more awareness of what's going on with the young people and just more ways of actually teaching our young people. You know, I mean, I think the New York City public school system has been trapped and boxed into this one method of teaching out of this book, blah, 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 to the young people. And that don't reach them, you know? We need more inventive ways of reaching our young people. And we need to start dealing with issues that affect them, no matter if they're family issues. And we need, and even if it's just putting in more counselors. The New York City school system has about 400 counselors in the whole entire system. So that's maybe like 15, 20 minutes per kid. You know what I'm saying?
Per 15, 20 minutes per week, year.
I don't even know how it breaks down, but I know it's
high
like 50.
Career.
Yeah, right? School career, right? So it's like 15 or 20 minutes. I don't know if it's day per year or whatever, but even if it's per day, that's still not enough. Some young people, it takes them 15 minutes just for you to get the name out of them, who they are, let alone deal with their problems and get a solution and send them on their way. So, you know, we're calling for a proactive measure of dealing with, you know, the violence in our schools.
And Sharda, you work on a project at the Center for Economic and Social Rights that promotes the right to education in New York City. Can you talk a little bit about the right to education and how it fits into a bigger context of human rights in general?
Yeah. I mean, it's really no mystery what's going on with New York City public schools. You know, I went to New York City public schools, and like when I was in high school, which was now, 12 years ago, we were down at City Hall protesting because we didn't have enough resources in our schools. We've been talking about what's necessary for a long time. The city's been violating the human rights of young people in its public schools for a while. We have human rights that are documented, that are in international law, for schools that are safe, but safety not just meaning that safe students against each other, save them from each other. It means having a safe, child-friendly school environment where resources are accessible, where education is available, where it's of high quality, and where it's relevant to what the young people are, what they're about in their communities. It's culturally relevant. It's appropriate. It actually is like adaptable to what young people are into, and so that it's relevant to their lives. And those are rights that young people have, and each young person in a school, not just certain young people who are tracked into the right system and who are identified as being gifted, but all young people have a human right to education. And the city's been violating that now for decades. And so to respond to a human rights violation, which is an inequitable, totally unacceptable school financing system, to respond to those rights violations by initiating policies that are going to mean more rights violations, because there are also international standards that say that school discipline has to have limits. Young people aren't supposed to be criminalized in their school, and also that there's an overall environment that's conducive to education. That just isn't, that means having more books, that means having smaller class sizes, but that also means looking at the student and all the other impacts on their lives that hamper their ability to get an education. If you go to school hungry, it's hard for you to be able to get a decent education. If you're worried about getting kicked out of your house because you don't have, you know, you don't have stable housing, it's hard for you to focus on your education. The city should be looking at our communities as a whole and thinking about how resources are distributed and think about giving us better quality of education and look at all the human rights, the economic and social rights that people are facing in these 12 districts, which are not, or these 12 schools in these districts, which are not coincidentally the poorest schools in the poorest districts in the city. So it's just an inappropriate response, and it constitutes a violation of young people's human rights.
I have a question for for both Sharda and Chino and Alan and Liz. We heard in the clip students from Stevenson were definitely, I mean, they're concerned about their safety, they're concerned about their resources, like Sharda was saying. They're also concerned just that about the behavior of other students. In a way, a lot of them were just saying that the students who are creating the problems are making it worse for everyone, that they should get kicked out. How do we enforce the right to education when you have problems with students in conflict with other students that's in ways that are sort of hindering people's education? And how do you deal with those students without just sort of throwing them out of the school like that? What's the way to so that every student, not just the students who aren't fighting, have that right to the education?
Well, I think a lot of these young people are saying, you know, well, just get those young people out of the schools because they're making it bad for everybody else, because they're just regurgitating what has been thrown at them for the past decades since they've been in the school and all the propaganda they see on the media. I mean, you teach by example. So if every time you turn around, you know, you got kids who fight locked up, and you got the mayor, and you got, you know, school safety officers talking about we need armor and we need bats and all these other things to handle young people, of course they're going to adapt to it. It was like, yeah, well, you know, get them out to school, yeah, because, you know, they get tired of that pressure and that anxiety that's forced upon them. But I also think that they go exactly to kick those kids out of the school because they haven't been approached with any other options to these young people.
And
sorry,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm, okay.
My understanding is that right now teachers don't have any option. If you have to ask a student to leave the classroom, that student is going to be
suspended. Yes.
So, it seems like there needs to be an alternative and not these kind of suspension centers, that there's no in between, and teachers are put in a position of either putting kids into this pathway to prison, mm-hmm, or keeping disruptive students in their classroom.
Yeah, we call it the school to prison pipeline, because mm-hmm, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, like, you can't isolate a group of young people and just throw them away and put them in a suspension center and it'd be all good. These still are our kids. Their kids are still a part of this community. And the fact of the matter is that the school system and the New York City Police Department is criminalizing young people for just normal adolescent behavior that's going on. The juvenile court system is being flooded with cases and young people that were traditionally handled by the New York City public school system so much that they don't even have right classifications to, like, classify what these young people are doing. It's either, like, miscellaneous or, you know, disturbing the peace or disorderly conduct or whatever. And it's just, like, and it's really mediocre, trivial crimes, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Liz. I'll let you talk.
I was going to say, they should ask the young people what they'd rather see in their schools. Cops with guns or teachers with textbooks? Libraries or a holding cell? You understand what I'm saying? Programs that empower young people or jail cells that can dehumanize a person's mind? If you ask them that question, what they'd rather see in their schools, maybe they'll give you the right answer. Because if they answer, unfortunately, they won't say jail cells. They'll say, I'd rather see new textbooks instead of using the same textbook for like 7-8 years that's been traveling down and down and down. And by the time it gets to me, like 5 or 6 pages is already missing.
We are speaking with
Chino, Alan, Liz, and Sharda. And we're joined by Mike Eskenazi.
It is 11:30 in New York City, and it's 43 degrees. We will be right back, and we're going to be speaking with all those people and bringing Mike Eskenazi from the National Center for Schools and Communities into the conversation when we're back right after this.
With the recent rooftop murder by a New York City police officer of Timothy Stansberry, the Emergency Coalition will hold a citywide demonstration at the Federal Courthouse in Manhattan at 40 Foley Square this Friday, February 20th, 3:30 p.m. Is there anybody trying? Devils in a blue dress. Join the emergency citywide demonstration on Friday, 3:30 p.m. For more info, call 718-398-1766. That's 718-398-1766. Earth's the burning grounds below heaven and angels. They put a Glock slug in the back of Kevin to Daniel.